Glenn. So good to see you here today. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor here, and it is a joy to be worshiping with you where we come today to say that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you who are worshiping with us online, and we especially welcome those who are joining us for the first time. We are so glad that you have chosen to be here today, and we pray that you will experience the love and presence of God in a real and powerful way. We have a gift bag for our first-time guests that we would like to share with those who have come in person, and so if you are one of those people, we would invite you to come after worship back into our chapel that is at the back of the sanctuary on the first floor to receive that gift bag. Also, for everyone who is worshiping today, let us know that you are here by registering your attendance either online or for those in person on the pads that the ushers are passing out at this time. And also let us know how we can be in prayer for you by filling out a prayer request online or using the cards that are in the pews in front of you. We believe in the power of prayer, and we want to be in prayer with you and for you. And so please let us know how we can do that. I'm very excited to share that our youth choirs are heading out this Wednesday on their annual choir tour. This will actually be the first tour that they've been able to take in 3 years, and so we are so excited about the good news that they are going to be sharing along the way. The middle and high school chapel choir, along with the Wesley and Sanctuary Ringers, are going to be leaving for Orlando, Florida, and they will spend a week there. And in addition to some planned recreational activities, the students are going to be partnering with a local church to participate in leading worship services on Pentecost Sunday, as well as performing several outreach concerts for local audiences in that area. The students have asked for your prayers for safe travels and for that their service through music along the way will impact the hearts and the minds and the spirit of all of the listeners for the kingdom of God. We want to thank Josh Chisholm and Stephen Wurst and all of the leaders who will be going with our students and ask for prayers for them as well. And we are really excited to have them come back and to share with us on June 12th. All of the wonderful things that they did. We know that there is so much to be in prayer for each and every day, and I know that you, along with me, we have been spending much time in prayer this past week for those who have been affected by the recent mass shootings. And it is always difficult and very confounding to once again be standing before you, speaking about a mass shooting and mourning for so many people who have been killed, for the prevalence of hatred and violence in our country. And it is not lost on us that on this Memorial Day weekend, as we are giving thanks for the faithful servants of our military who have given their lives for this country, that we are also grieving at the same time the loss of a sense of safety and security in our communities. And we are reminded at this time just how precious life is, and yet how vulnerable and fragile our life together can be. We know that it takes great courage to stand up to hatred and to defend the rights of all people to live without fear in this great country. And so today we honor the men and women of our armed forces who have given their lives to keep us safe. And we pray that God will guide us in our daily decisions so that their sacrifice will not have been made in vain. And we pray that the church will seek to be a part of whatever solution there can be in ministry in our communities. And we pray for all of our leaders and for citizens to seek ways of preventing such horrible loss. And so today, as we come before the presence of God, may we humble ourselves and may we learn God's ways so that we might walk in his paths. We have a very meaningful service of worship today. Our pastoral intern, J.R. Mayanga, is going to be sharing God's word with us. And so we are going to begin today by singing together our opening hymn, number 98, "To God Be the Glory." And so let us stand and sing together.
Let us continue in worship together as we say our affirmation of faith that's printed in our bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Before we pray today, we want to once again give thanks for all of the members of our armed forces who have served our country in times of war and of peace, for the prevention of violence and aggression. And today we feel compelled by the grace of God and the compassion of Jesus and the groaning of the Holy Spirit to focus our prayer in solidarity with the children and the families and the people of Buffalo, New York, and of Uvalde, Texas, and others who are in similar deep sorrow. And so as I lead us in praying today, each time that I say, "Lord, in your mercy," please respond together with, "Hear our prayer," followed by a moment of silence. And so let us pray together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of life, while funerals and memorials and burials and earth-shaking sorrow unfold, we feel the deep agony voiced in Jeremiah and quoted in the Gospel of Matthew as mourning for the slaughter of the innocent, saying, "Thus says the Lord." A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. We feel the bitter grief, are horrified, and yet can hardly imagine the sorrow and dismay and anger and other feelings of those at the epicenters of devastation and violence. Without adequate words, we pray for every traumatized and broken heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With the psalmist and out of our broken and bewildered hearts, we ask, "How long, O Lord, must we bear pain in our souls and have sorrow in our hearts all day long? How long? How many times must we hear the jackhammer of gunfire and the stories of nightmarish violence? How long shall the violent enemy of grace and peace gain the upper hand? Oh, that we might find the end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." In the Gospel of Luke, we hear the heart of Jesus as he contemplates violence that will come to his people, saying as he weeps, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from our eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when they will crush you to the ground, you and your children." Hearing this heartbroken plea of Jesus, we pray that we might recognize the things that make for peace, that we might see how to prevent violence and promote peace where we live, that our national and state and local leaders would learn how to strengthen safety and security. Help us to determine that we will actively work to transform lives from violence to peace, that as faith-filled citizens, we will not be silent, but will take action, that we will so inject communities with the good news of Jesus Christ, of his love and his grace, that we will help to alter the course of current behaviors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we hear your vision and will for the world from the prophet Isaiah saying, "I will appoint peace as your overseer and righteousness as your manager. Violence shall be no more heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders." And so we pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Yes, Lord, hear our deep yearning for your strong and healing grace, your deep and enduring peace, and your constant consoling presence as together we pray what we have learned from Jesus, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
To 357, let's stand and sing Just As I Am.
As we enter into our time of offering, I want to just take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to the many ways that through your giving and your faithfulness, we continue to change lives that change the world. We're able to do incredible things in this community and literally around the world because of your faithfulness. And as you continue to give, as we continue to ask ourselves, what is God asking us to sacrifice? What is God asking us to give? Know that we are always looking at ways that we can increase our impact. We don't want to stand where we are today and celebrate just here. We want to think ahead. What is God calling us to do? And it's your faithfulness. It's your giving of time and resources that allows us to do that. So thank you. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for what you give. You may be seated.
Deep
to cross over into campground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land where all is peace? Oh, deep river, my home is over Jordan. Deep river, Lord, I want to cross over into campground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land where all is peace? Deep river, my home is over Jordan. Deep river, Lord, I want to cross over into campground.
May be seated. Before I read the scripture, just want to share with you that it is JR's tradition to sing a prayer before he preaches, and a truly beautiful tradition that we get to experience every time he shares the Word of God. And he sings in Swahili, and you can see the English translation there printed in your bulletin. And I just want to make a note there for that last phrase, where it says, "Suffer the children. Oh, hear his voice, let every heart leap forth and rejoice." This is a scripture passage that comes from the 16th century King James Version. And suffer, in that context, meant to allow or to permit. And so when we hear that phrase or read that phrase, what JR is praying is, allow, permit, let the children come to me. It is not meant to suggest that we rejoice or that God rejoices in the suffering of any of his children, yet it is meant to be an invitation and a reminder that God in Christ reaches out to children to console them and to hold them. And so now let us hear our scripture from the Gospel of Matthew in the 11th chapter, starting with verse 28. Come to me, all you that are heavy or that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's so wonderful to be given again this opportunity to stand before you this morning and share the word of God. Allow me to extend my gratitude to the leadership of McFarlane, Pastor Rockford, and Pastor Wendy for giving me another opportunity to share with you the word of God. As you know, I was doing my supervised ministry here at McFarlane for 1 year. It was an opportunity for me to learn and to grow in my ministry, which I really appreciate you. God bless you. I would like as well to thank the whole congregations. I really feel loved and supported by McFarlane. Even those who are watching us online right now, I pray that my God may continue to bless each and every one of you. As Pastor Wenda just said, I'm going to sing a prayer. It's a Swahili song. I hope you're going to be blessed by the song.
Twende kwa Yesu, mimi nawe, njia otonya tu ijue. Imochuoni na mwenyewe apa sema njo na fura tutaiona mioyo ikitakata sana kwako Mokozi kuonana na milele kukaa. Wanana waje atuambia, furahini mkisikia, ndiye mfalme wetu pia, na tumtii njo na furaha tutaiona, mioyo ikitakata sana kwako Mokozi kuonana na milele kukaa.
Amen. I remember when I was in Congo as a kid, my mom and my sisters would send us to go fetch drinking water like 3 miles away from home because we did not have water tap in our yard. So we could not waste water because we knew how hard it was to walk that distance to go fetch water. So this is how we used to carry water. We would put water in a container and put it on top of our head. So it is hard work balancing the heavy container of water on top of your head as you walk home. All we looked forward for was to get home, have someone ready to help us put that container of water down. Putting down the container brought such a great relief. You feel so happy, you feel so good when you have taken that heavy load from your head. The joy of the unburdened. From the scripture we have just read, Jesus is inviting all those who are heavily burdened by all forms of burden that the world can give today, such as economic burden, health burden, family issues, all to come to Jesus. It is quite evident that coming to Christ is something more than a physical act. Coming to Christ is, in a sense, inviting us to have a desire for Him, a desire to seek after Him and trusting in Jesus. It's about turning our heart from the things of the world to the love of holiness. Even this coming and seeking of Christ is an act of grace. For we are saved by grace alone, through faith. That's the reason why Jesus is giving us a free invitation to all those who are weary and heavy burden to come to Him. Jesus does not say come to a church or come to a clergyman or to a denomination or to anything but to Himself alone. But after coming to Jesus by grace, through faith, we are expected to produce works of faith by following Christ's example and living the way He lived. That's what we call the practice of faith. Just like Jesus, we are expected to forgive as we have been forgiven. We are expected to feed the poor and the hungry people and provide even shelter for the homeless. That is the reason why Jesus is inviting us to have a vital, a dynamic relationship with the living God by accepting His invitation and to live like Him. That's why we come in the house of the Lord this morning, to be taught of His ways, just like how we are sitting in this place in this morning. As I said earlier on, that Jesus wants us to come to Him. He is telling us to do nothing else but to come to Him. After coming to Jesus, He is calling us to learn from His ways. That's why He said, "Learn from me." He alone is the way, is the truth, is the life. And we may find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. There is salvation rest in no one else, for there is no other name that has been given to us among men by which we must be saved. That's why Jesus Christ is telling us to follow Him. We may ask ourselves this morning, why does Jesus tell us to come to Him? We are living in a broken world. Everything that we are doing without Jesus is a serious burden. All the pain, suffering, diseases, all the sicknesses, all the guilt, those are the burden that without Jesus in our lives, we are sinking down with them. When Jesus came, He knew the world was broken. So He said to all those who are weary and heavy burden to come to Him. So Jesus meant every broken person in a broken world to come to Him. We have so much burden in our society today. That is why Jesus is telling us to come to Him, because He knows what takes away our joy. He knows what takes away our laughter. He knows the burden that we carry in our daily lives. And He wants us to come to Him so that He can give us that joy. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Come now, let us reason together." Now Jesus is talking about those who are weary and heavy burden. Now let us reason together with Jesus this morning. How do we live our lives? Considering Jesus' invitation, do we even see the need to come to Jesus? Yes, we do. Even for the gift of life that God has given you and I, we have the reason to accept Jesus Christ's invitation. Now, for us to truly come to Jesus, We must admit that we are burdened with the weight of sin. We are burdened with the weight of sadness. We are burdened with the weight of sorrow. But when we accept Jesus' invitation, it will take away all the burdens of all kind. Only those who acknowledge that they are lost can be saved. While Jesus' invitation is especially a call to come to him for salvation, he also wants us to have rest. The call is also applicable to anyone who is weary in their struggle to live a Christian life in their own strength. Everyone that has met Christ can testify that when they met Christ, their burden of sin, their burden of guilt and rejection was removed and there was rest. Rest does not mean that everything is fine. No. But rest is that someone like Jesus can accept you, the sinner, just as you are, to come with your burden, to come with all the sorrows and disappointment, so that when you come to Christ and acknowledge that you are not worthy, what you received is that acceptance and that love, and that gives us rest. We all have the kind of burden in this world. Every one of us in Christ, we have something that has pushed us to go to Christ. Mine might be different from yours. But if you look into those reasons for you to go to Christ, you could find that there is something that has pushed you to go to Christ. And Jesus wants us all to have rest. We might ask again this morning the question, how do we follow Christ today? We follow Jesus Christ by faith, through and trust in him. The attitude of coming to Christ is to have the will of letting go everything and deliberately commit everything to Jesus. As we come to Christ, as we need Christ, so we go to Christ. Not once for all, but we continue to go to Jesus Christ. And to follow Jesus, what do we have to do? We have to analyze our lives. What obligations and demands set the structure and schedule of your days, hours, and weeks? Are we being conquered by the world, the culture, the stuff of life? Are we under the burdens of external obligations that takes away your time or robs your time with your spouse, children, grandchildren, or the family of faith? Is your life of faith and your participation in the community of faith, like the church, being conquered by the orders and structure of the world that we are living in? In verse 3 of 1 John 5, it says, "For the love of God is that we obey his commandment, and his commandment are not burdensome." This morning, Jesus is calling us to follow him, so we have to obey his commandment. We must obey Jesus in every trial, in every trouble, in every conflict, in order to unburden our mind, to find rest for our souls. We come to Christ for wisdom. We come to Christ for strength. We come to Christ for holiness. We come to Christ for grace. Jesus called those who are weary must come to him to relieve their need instead of living a self-sufficiency. We all know without Jesus, we are nothing in this world. If we think that we don't have any burden to carry to Christ, that is not true, because we have the burden of our brothers and sisters that are in Christ. Just like how I mentioned earlier on my story of carrying water on top of my head, it was so challenging. But once you go home and you put it down, when somebody comes and asks for water, you give them happily. When Jesus was on earth, he was talking to a broken world, and the world has not changed. Where there is a lot of all kind of burden, and sometimes as human beings, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the solutions to all these problems. But Christ came with a solution and took away our sins. We don't have the capacity to carry those burdens on our own. Everyone in the Bible that has met Christ, Christ has taken those burdens away from them and gave them rest. It might not be a guilt or sickness, but every one of us, even when we are in Christ, and any time that we decide to carry those burdens by ourselves, we discover that they are too heavy. We can't do it on our own. That call of Christ is happening today. Anytime that we give our burden to Christ, we receive Christ's rest. And the rest is that joy in our heart. And that joy is because we are accepted by God. The only one who will never drive you away because of your burden is Jesus Christ. Even the ones that nobody else can. This morning, I want to remind us that there is no rest in this life without trust in his life-giving provision. In verse 30 of Matthew, it says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Yoke refers to a part of the harness used on oxen to pull a plow, to pull their burden, or to do their assigned work. And the word easy in Greek, it's krestos, which means well-fitting. By saying his yoke is easy, Jesus does not propose that we live a life that has no any obligation. But by accepting his yoke, which means his obligation that are meant for both of our good and the good of the world. Now that we know what we are not supposed to carry on our own, we should bring them to Christ. We must bring what we cannot carry to Christ, because he will give us his burden, which is light. And that light burden is love. To love is not cheap. Let us look the way Jesus suffered on the cross. He could have said, I don't want to go there. But there is a reason why his burden is light. Because when you suffer for love, you are still rewarded by God, not by men. The burden to forgive, although you are hurting, but you decide to forgive for the sake of love. Therefore, those burdens become light. The burden to give away your comfort of your home to go to Africa for missionary work, because you are doing it for the love. You have decided to leave your family where you can sleep comfortably, but you have decided to carry the mission, the burden of Christ, to a mass suffering all around the world because of love. The burden that Christ gives is light. Not that it is really light, because you are doing it for the sake of love. And you are doing it with him who loves you more. Therefore, it becomes light and easy, because he has already carried the weight of those burdens for you. Those burdens are laid on us in love. They are meant to be carried in love. And love makes even the heaviest burden light. When we remember the love of God for us, our burden is to love God and to love one another. Christ's burden will give us rest. This rest is in every sense a divine rest. The rest that the Creator himself provides. This rest is in every sense a divine, joyous, satisfying, and productive. when we bring our burden to Christ in prayers, we see God taking away and give us his burden to rejoice in love. The burden which is given in love and carried in love is always, always light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you this morning for your word. Sometimes we struggle to carry all those burdens on our own. Sometimes we forget that you are there for us. But this morning, your word has reminded us we should come to you and bring all that we can't even carry to you. Because you love that first. Help us to remember that you're always next to us. Help us to love you more and love our neighbors. Let your Holy Spirit always be next to us and remind us what we should be doing for the sake of your glory. We surrender all unto your mighty hands. In the wonderful name of our Lord, Jesus Christ and Savior. Amen.
Church, let's stand and turn in our hymnals to 526 as we sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Remember that the grace of God is always there. Let us not deal with what we can. Jesus Christ is next to us and is ready to take those burdens away from us in love. May you go in peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.